Welcome back, guys. DGS 306. Happy Monday to you. Chet Pleben joins us. Hello, Chet.
Hello, Dave.
So let's do what we usually do. I'll tell you what I know about this Trump thing, and then you take it from there. So as I understand it, Donald Trump is alleged to have had a sexual liaison with Stormy Daniels. He wants to keep it from his wife and anyone else who might care. So he pays her $130,000 hush money through his attorney, Michael Cohen, who he then reimburses but labels it as legal expenses, which is hinky, but a misdemeanor at worst, but the prosecuting attorneys have tied it to the furtherance of another crime, which is basically trying to fool people in the election, which was just a couple weeks after that, and that would make it a felony. But a lot of legal scholars say, boy, that's kind of a stretch, and here we are in the first day. Does that kind of sum it up?
That sums it up, yeah. 34 counts of false business records in the first degree, and as you said, you have to, in order to make it a felony, you have to have an intent when you falsify the business record. That's in it of itself a misdemeanor. But if you have the intent to further another crime, that raises it to a felony. And so they have Trump charged with 34 felony counts. And what they're alleging is that essentially what he was doing, the other crime or crimes that he was covering up are campaign finance law or tax law, tax fraud, because the payment to Michael Cohen was a reimbursement of the $130,000 that he paid to Stormy Daniels 2 weeks before the election in order to make sure that didn't hit the public domain. So the two lawyers of the prosecutor gave his opening statement today, and the defendant, the prosecutor has to give an opening statement to the jury. The defendant can reserve their opening statement until their case begins after the prosecution case ends. In this instance, the defense decided that they would go ahead and give their opening statement. So essentially, before we ever got, however, to the opening statement, the judge decided, had to decide an issue based upon a hearing last week that was based upon the case of the people of the state of New York versus Sandoval. And what that case was about is that the prosecution has to say what kind of other evidence of misconduct or crimes that they would use or seek to use if the defendant testifies. Understand that the defendant doesn't have to testify in his own defense. He can just simply rely upon the inability of the state to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. And only the defendant makes the decision on whether or not to testify. The state can't call him and can't refer to the fact that he's opted not to testify. That's prejudicial. Mm-hmm. So what the judge has to decide, the judge has to weigh the probative value of the evidence that the state has against the prejudicial effect of whatever evidence that might be, the prejudice that would result to the defendant, who's entitled, obviously, to a fair trial. And so the test or the barometer in using that balancing test is how does he puts his credibility into evidence when he decides voluntarily to get on the witness stand. So the jury has an obligation and a right to judge his credibility. Is he telling the truth or is he not telling the truth? And so how do these other particular offenses impact that particular credibility? And so that, you know, and a lot of things you would not think would be evidence that he's just a garden variety criminal, but it really doesn't have anything to do mm-hmm. with the 34 counts that he's standing trial for, and therefore it would be prejudicial. So, you know, things like crimes of honesty, untrustworthiness, mm-hmm. and any willingness or disposition basically to advance his own self-interest as opposed to interests of society, et cetera, you know, suggests that he probably, if he did that once, he's probably going to do it again. And so the judge made some decisions on what could or could not be offered into evidence if he were to testify.
And who did it favor?
Well, it's a balancing test. And so what the judge decided that, for example, the civil fraud trial that he had in New York just recently, and the liability finding, not the $454 million. So that's out. But the fact that he was deemed liable by the court, that's admissible if he chooses to testify. Two violations of the Engeron gag order that resulted from that civil fraud trial are admissible. This is interesting. The E. Jean Carroll case, that's the defamation case. She sued him because he denied raping her. So that the liability on that and the fact that he was found to be liable by a jury, that's admissible. They can't, however, get into the $83 million that she was awarded or get into any of the conversation really about actual raping her himself. But the fact that he was defamed her, the jury decided. And so, finally, the New York settlement of the his Trump the Trump Foundation, that he settled with the state of New York when they dissolved the Trump Foundation. So those are the four things.
As you well know, juries are strange things. And I think you probably agree with me that typically they take things very seriously. And they typically, you know, whether we agree or disagree as attorneys, they do what they think is the right thing. I keep thinking how not necessarily he has to do it, but he's going to do it. Trump and his lawyers are going to basically take the position that none of this happened with Stormy Daniels. And I think that unless you're just like the biggest Trumpster in the world, the people on the jury are probably going to disbelieve that. And that is not a crime. You know, him having the affair, it's not even a crime paying her the hush money, not a crime at all. But in the real world, do you think that could turn them against him, the fact that he's going to vehemently deny something that they're probably going to accept happened?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I was listening to the opening statement, or at least the recording of the opening statement, and the prosecution puts together, I think, a very, very compelling and interesting story that all relates to the question of, well, why you're paying her $130,000. Why are you doing this 2 weeks before the election? You know, you had the other issue as it relates to Karen McDougal and her whole situation. And then you have the involvement of David Pecker and the National Enquirer that involved David Pecker and covering up three catching kills that news publication, quote unquote news publication, reported in order to help Donald Trump. And they did it in order to go ahead and kill any negative stories or publish favorable stories about him and then publish negative stories about his opponent. So they were in it to help him. And so at the end of the day, you have a situation where the two main witnesses, in my opinion, in this case, are going to be Michael Cohen and David Pecker. Now, you might say, well, Michael Cohen, he's a convicted felon. He was convicted of perjury, and he's basically a criminal. And David Pecker is probably not too far off. And David Pecker, they gave him immunity to testify in this case. So they're not going to prosecute him for his involvement in all this entire scheme. And so, but I will say to you that, you know, I can't count the number of times that I have had convicted felons, people who are convicted of perjury, testifying in federal and state cases mm-hmm. against my client, and they're believed. Okay,
yeah,
you're not
sure.
you're not gonna put a good guy on there. Some guy that goes to church every Sunday and spends most of his time, you know, helping his mother on the witness stand to testify as to the sleazy behavior that he was involved with the defendant. So, you know, I don't put much stake in that. However, the story sounds good, But then you've got to get to the jury instructions. And then you've got to get to the question of, okay, is this just a garden variety misdemeanor that you falsified some business records, okay? And I think they'll probably believe Cohen on that score. I mean, he paid him double the $130 that Cohen paid Stormy Daniels. So I think they'll probably believe that. But then you get down to the nuts and bolts, and now they're going to get the jury instructions. They're going to take those jury instructions back to the deliberation room with them. And now the government has to prove an intent to further other crimes, whether they be campaign finance law or tax law. Now, I don't know if he tried to say that deduct the phony payments to Cohen on his tax return. I have no idea. So, and then you have, and this is kind of interesting. You got two lawyers on that jury. I would never ever put a lawyer on a jury, and the reason that I wouldn't is that they'll dominate. They'll dominate the deliberation, and maybe they'll be for you. Maybe they'll be against you. But it's a real flip of the coin. And so, and I've had lawyers on potential juries and gone. I mean, there's no way. And if I didn't strike them, if the prosecutor didn't strike them, rather, then I would take care of it. Yeah. So.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you, I'm sure, tomorrow, because they're going to pick it back up tomorrow. David Pecker took the stand today for a short amount of time. He'll be back tomorrow, and it's going to be something to watch. Thank you, Chad. We appreciate it.
You bet. Good talking to you guys.
Wheels got a short stairway in you?
Yeah, I can throw a quick one in there to knock this out. Have you guys seen the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class for this year?
No.
So there's a few, like, finally, right? Like Ozzy Osbourne finally gets chosen. Foreigner is going to be one of the inductees. And
nice.
I don't get too wrapped up in it, but because I realize it's not what it says it is.
Right.
It's just a recognition of all musicians, which is totally fine, but I'm into the rock and roll side.
People.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cool and the Gang are awesome. They're not rock and roll. But that I'm over that now, and what I focus on now is this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The ones that finally get the recognition that could have gotten it a long time ago that haven't. And I don't know if you guys, this is kind of the way I looked at this topic was, I had to change how I looked at the Hall of Fame to not get pissed off about it all the time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I had to say, all right, I'm going to look for the wins. Like, to me, it's a W that Ozzy freaking Osbourne is finally getting in. I think he's in already as a member of Black Sabbath. But, yeah. I mean, his solo career has been really impactful, too. It's about time for Foreigner. You know? I mean, they were a huge part of, what, 15 years of rock music? Peter Frampton got in, too.
Oh, good.
So, again, another guy that in the 70s was such a massive influence. And I'm a little bummed that Dave Matthews got in.
Really?
Like,
just because you don't like him?
That's not my thing.
I could not name one Dave Matthews song.
They all sound like Dave Matthews songs.
Ants Marching.
That's the name
and
of
I'm
a song.
And I'm being mean. Yeah, I know. I'm just I am just teasing because everybody thinks my songs all sound the same too.
You know my Dave Matthews story?
No.
So Nick and I have this thing where we'll see a stranger and we'll be like, that's Abe Vigoda plus grandma. You know, that kind of thing. And I was at the Four Seasons sitting at the bar by myself having a drink because I'm, you know, that guy. And there was a guy at the other end of the bar. And I said to the bartender who did not know me, I go, hey, come here. Look, it's Fat Dave Matthews. And he goes, no, that's Dave Matthews.
Okay. He's not a skinny guy.
Oh, man.
I used to hate Dave Matthews Band, and I kind of like him now.
Yeah. Dave Matthews, I've always said, you like him until you meet that friend of yours who really, really likes them.
And I don't have any of those.
And then you're like, oh, I thought I liked Crash Into Me, and now I'm just not sure I do. So
That might be why, because I don't have any friends who are like super, super into Dave Matthews.
Does he never wear shoes, or am I making that up?
I don't know. He had shoes on when I saw him.
Okay. Mm, there you go. I didn't know if he was like a barefoot guy.
Never looked down that far.
Yeah. That's another one. Like, I know this is probably, I think it's probably just when you're younger, you're stupider. Like, I used to say, like, oh, country sucks, or Dave Matthews. And I finally, I don't know, somehow over a long time evolved into, like, all right, nothing really sucks. It's just what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
And it's cool to have anybody be recognized in this scenario, but
I still fight that so hard.
That part?
Everything sucks.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
But you know what? But it does to you, though. And that's okay to say. I just wish everybody would take that as the context. Like, it just means I don't like it. It doesn't mean that nobody can like it.
All right, I'm going to say something crazy. Queen may be my favorite band.
Oh, you've never said that before.
I mean, like, my favorite. Because you always got, like, your favorite, but then you got who do you listen to?
Yeah.
I rarely put the Beatles on. I love the Beatles, but I rarely put them on. I listen to Queen all the time. Although Andrew's ruining it pretty badly right now with that dance.
Yeah, what is that dance?
The Under Pressure dance. I think they do it in the music video.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
That's more of the Radio Gaga dance.
I think they do it in all their videos, actually. Yeah. It's like their signature.
He's Mercury-ing.
Yeah.
Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Besides Jimmy Buffett, who's your favorite band?
A band?
Yeah. Or artist?
Yeah. I like the Rolling Stones.
Beyonce.
My favorite artist is a guy named Keola Beamer, who is a slat key guitarist from Hawaii. It's fantastic.
Interesting.
In fact, we had a couple of people over on Saturday night, and we had the Keola Beamer channel playing, and they said, "Who is that? That's fantastic music." Mainly instrumental, mainly slat key guitar.
Living your life. Why did you guys not move to Hawaii since you love it so much?
Couple of reasons. One is it was going to be a little too far away from family.
Yeah.
And grandson and that kind of stuff. There were some rules, some laws that were starting to kind of eat away at you.
Like we were in pants.
No, not in Hawaii. You don't have to do that. That was a positive.
There's like rough immigration stuff, right? With like testing for like illnesses and stuff like that.
I know what you're saying.
You can't bring
a
dog.
So many diseases. Yeah. You can't bring a dog.
They really frown on lice.
You can't bring like an animal from not in Hawaii to Hawaii because like it's such a delicate ecosystem.
But it has been like a 6-month process. You have to make sure all their vaccines are up to date, healthy, and all that stuff. But from the way I understand it now is that Oprah got behind that because she wanted to travel to the islands anytime she wanted to on her private jet and bring her dogs.
Sure.
And so I think that law has changed a little bit there. I mean, we were in the planning stages. We had architectural plans. We had our land. We were ready to go and then just decided to pull the plug after a series of things that happened that I got that feeling. And so did Janice. So we said, you know what? This maybe isn't the thing for us.
I remember one time, pretty early on in my career, getting over my skis one time when we were in Mexico and one of those like white concrete places on the side of a cliff. And it was it was only like $200,000. And I'm like, $200,000. Oh, my God. Blah, blah, blah. And then I found out, at least I was told, that when you buy property there, that yes, you own it. But at any point, Mexico can just go like, you don't own it. We own it. And they just take it back.
No, that's not good.
Not good.
That's not good.
No. Plus the lice thing. I mean, yeah, they really frown on it.
The testing for diseases.
I'm
crazy.
Eating up. So. How are we looking this week?
You know, it's up and down with temperatures again. We have a little cool front coming through during tomorrow afternoon. It doesn't have a lot of moisture to work with, but I think we'll squeeze out. A couple of showers, could be a rumble of thunder. Nothing strong, nothing severe. Coolest weather will be Wednesday, but a pretty day on Wednesday. Northwest flow, partly to mostly sunny, 68 degrees. Thursday's a pretty nice day, 72. There are two severe weather events that I'm really concerned about. As we get into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we are going to get into a real juicy southerly flow. It's going to be very warm. It's going to be very humid and very unsettled. And I think we have a shot of strong to severe thunderstorms Friday afternoon and into Friday evening. and another shot as we go through Sunday. Just want to get that out on the table just for planning purposes. The, you know, obviously the details are a little fuzzy right now, but it's looking like a pretty stout atmosphere.
So like the 70s and even hitting 80 later in the week, is that getting normal or is that still above normal for where
we are? No, that's well above normal. You know, upper 60s, low 70s this time of year.
Darn, I feel like we're being, today's a gorgeous day, but yeah. I feel like we're kind of being cheated out of our spring.
We've been going, I don't know, have we? Do you think we've had some cool weather, but we've also had some very warm weather.
Yeah, I'm just a baby about warm weather.
True.
most people, as they age, they're the opposite. They want to go to Florida or California or something, and give me the 40s and 50s, man. I'll take it.
I know you'd like that.
Headlines, Rach?
Yes, brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. According to a new study, workers know that AI can create a competitive advantage for themselves, and workers want more training and guidance. This is a very optimistic survey. 75% of employees recently surveyed by Insight Enterprises say that investing in AI-powered devices will help their employer stay competitive. And even though they know that AI-powered devices will change critical skills needed to do their job, they don't report feeling anxious, fearful, confused, or overwhelmed about using AI at work.
You know anything about that?
Yeah.
I think nobody knows what the hell they're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
It's like if someone said, guess what? Dogs can now talk and they're completely sentient.
Oh, my God.
And they're all accountants. How do you think that's going to help your business? You're like, well, I think. It's like, shut up. Dogs can talk. Shut up. You don't know what the hell's going to happen.
But my dogs can do my taxes. That'd be so great.
That would be great.
I'd be so mad if dogs could talk, but my cat still couldn't talk. Yeah. Not fair.
That'd be super unfair.
Would it be because she doesn't want to?
Yeah, she
couldn't.
She's just chatting away whenever I'm not home.
I'm telling you, the reason we love animals is specifically because they don't talk.
Well,
because
you can project whatever you want onto them.
Yeah.
Yep. Unconditional love, too.
Completely.
And as soon as they start to talk, it's just like a guy. What, it's not like my dog.
Why did your voice just do that?
It's not even a dog anymore. It's just a guy.
What if they were like, if they could say words, but they actually are saying exactly what we think they've been saying all along?
Right.
How would it be if your dog's falling around going, man, you're the best. I love you. I love you, buddy. I love you all the time.
It'd be cool.
I don't know, man. That might get old. Like,
or it could be worse. Around. It could be, hey, where do you think you're going?
Yeah, right. Don't leave.
You're leaving me at home?
I got mad at a Stanley Steamer commercial today.
Oh, yeah?
Have you guys seen the one where the dog drags his butthole across the carpet?
I have seen that. Yeah.
And then in the very next shot, the Stanley Steamer guy couldn't look happier to be cleaning that up. And I'm like, it's 2024. You don't have to fool us. It's not like, Ned, get this. Today we're cleaning up dog poop. And it's like, no, I'm sure they don't want to do that at all. It's just their
job.
Now,
just because they're scooting doesn't mean that there's poop there.
No, it means they're itchy.
You're right.
Well, there's got to be some residuals.
Could be.
No, not
they're not using like wet wipes whenever they go.
Yeah. I feel confident in saying there's residuals.
I mean,
it's a dog after all.
Yeah. I'm not going to get gross. I'm going to stop.
Yes. We could both get in trouble with this.
I've got another survey that I think is also going to make Dave mad.
Uh-oh.
According to a new survey, most people on weight loss drugs are spending less on restaurants and takeout.
Oh!
I'm telling you, we went into the wrong business, boys. We should have gone into the study business.
Huh. It's a big duh. Let's see here. Earth Day 2024 is target... Yes, Dave?
Thirsty man drinks more liquid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We did a study and it shows that hungry people do enjoy food.
You know, when I drink a lot of water, I feel like I got a lot of water.
Earth Day 2024 is today, Monday, April 22nd, not 27th. And the target this year is plastic usage. Organizers are looking to reduce the use of single-use plastic items by 60% by the year 2040, which I think is all well and good. But yesterday I saw a TikTok, and that TikTok was about Taylor Swift, not to pick on Taylor Swift, but she does use her private jet an awful lot, mm-hmm. and it showed her 2023 private jet usage mm-hmm. set over one of her songs. And when I tell you it went on and on and on and on, She's flying all over the country, putting all these emissions in the air. And you're telling me that my single-use straw is the reason why we're in trouble? Like, come on, people.
I knew it was her fault.
Well, I'm not saying it's 100% her fault, but I'm saying, like, these billionaires and these huge corporations are the ones really, like, pumping all this stuff into the environment. And then they tell us, like, you got to make sure you don't use that straw because a turtle might choke on it. It's like, okay.
Well, that's true. Turtles can choke on straws.
Well, it is true, but don't act like I'm, like, you know, punching the environment in the face every time I ask
also,
for a straw.
Also, maybe we shouldn't throw that stuff in the ocean.
Yeah. I'm not doing that.
Like, maybe there's a better solution. Like, you know what? Let's just throw it in the water.
It's like my dad always said to me, don't choke the turtle.
What's the better solution, though? Like,
I'm
not saying it's a good solution, but it's
Dig a deeper hole.
I feel like there isn't one.
Dig a deeper ditch.
Andrew, you think the best solution is to throw it
just
into the ocean?
Just throw it in the water.
What other option is there?
There's a lot of land.
Oh, my God. How do you not have your own show by now?
I know.
Y'all, I'm empirically correct. It's what we're doing.
Yeah, because it's cheap.
Yeah, not because it's the best.
What's the best?
Not throwing
almost
it in the water.
Not using.
Dig a deeper hole.
Reusable straw.
There aren't enough turtles on the earth.
I don't like doing it, but I mean, I don't see another option.
Andrew's all about big garbage and their profits.
No kidding.
There's money
in garbage.
He's
in the air right now. He's so distraught.
What am I doing here? I'm just saying.
You wouldn't have made it in law school. In response to that, you just went, rawr.
How often does a lawyer get to do this with their hands and it works out for him?
That is Andrew's move, is he'll go like, oh, well, I guess I'm just wrong.
Oh, well.
I would love to see him do that in court.
The arms go up real fast.
Let me defend big garbage and Andrew for a second. Okay. I just looked this up. So UNESCO, I don't know, it sounds official. They teach about the ocean, and they say that the majority of plastic pollution in the ocean is caused by littering.
Oh, okay.
So it's individual humans being idiots. Stop being idiots.
Well, that isn't defending what I was saying, though.
I mean, I was saying that I was blaming the companies.
He was saying that that's a good thing to do, is to throw your trash in the ocean.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm saying
choices.
There's too much trash. So there's nothing that we can do with it. Like, there's no
bury
way
it.
Burying it is not, I don't think that really works that well.
It's just not cheap.
Really, the thing we need to do is to use less everything.
Well, yeah.
But that takes human sacrifice, and we hate doing that. So.
Wait, we got to kill people?
I ain't
You can take the girl out of Grafton.
What we need to do is we need to throw the virgin in the volcano. I'm just saying this for years.
Wow, seriously can't believe I just said that.
We are like a dozen virgin hearts away.
But we're all too cowardly.
No one wants to do that anymore.
It's all for the good of the greater good.
Should I even keep going?
No. Yes.
Nah.
Okay, yes.
I
wants to crucify
so.
The gentle of heart. Because of woke.
Yeah. The woke mob tells us we can't do that.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
353 DGS. So, Andrew, you think that buying movie theater popcorn by the bag is the zenith of human society?
Oh, it's so great. So, yesterday I was annoyed at how theater times just aren't working out with what I want them to be, right? It feels like lately the movies, first of all, they've all been terrible. But second of all, the movies that I do want to see, they're not at the right times. And it's just a whole big pain. And
where's
the stuff
your theater?
I want to see is,
where you go?
My main place to go is, it's not the best theater, but there is a pretty nice theater in Alton now called the NCG.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fine. And that's where I try to see stuff because it's like 5 minutes from my house. And the NCG also sells 510-ounce bags of popcorn.
How big is that?
That is about this big. It's pretty big.
So it's like a real bag.
Yeah, that's like the kind you take
it's
home.
It's like bigger than a carnival bag.
It's like a big giant backpack.
What are they getting for those?
Enormous. $15.
Oh,
which
that's
is
not
wait
bad.
A minute.
Totally fine.
Wait a minute. 15 for that, but they're probably charging 10 for the bucket that you would eat
100%.
During the movie?
Oh, even more than 10, I think.
What? That's a great deal.
It's a great deal. And it's extra.
And even more for the Dune one.
And it's hey, look, there's no rules about what you can and can't do with this bag, right?
At home.
So they take this. So you take this bag and you get to stand at the popcorn machine while everybody waits behind you and looks at their watch while you're like very slowly filling up this 500 ounce.
Is it like a bag, like a see-through bag?
Yeah. So
like, I've seen people sell kettle corn at like
farmers
markets.
Yeah, they have them at the grocery stores and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Why would you want to buy something that big?
It's the only size that they sell it in.
To go.
To go. The only to go size they sell it in is the five. So I was like, you get that, then you get to take it home. You get to watch movies in the comfort of your own house with the best part of the movie theater experience, which is the popcorn.
Okay.
It's awesome.
You fooled me. I thought that they were selling that and you were taking it to your seat.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was taking it to go. I don't know if they would let you take it into... I mean, I'm sure they would let you take
it. Yeah, that'd be embarrassing.
I mean, like, yeah, but like, you know what? You probably just can't get the butter thing on there that you would get on the bucket, which is why...
Well, you're allowed to put the butter in the bag, they told me, but yeah. I chose not to.
Yeah, that's a bad
sounds like it would have been
a disaster. But if you could do... Like, why would you spend, I don't know, $12 for the bucket when you could spend $15 on that giant bag?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to stay there and watch the movie.
It's not the most, having eaten a lot of that popcorn last night out of the bag, it's not the most dignified of experiences, eating out of a big garbage bag.
That's true. Imagine sitting in the theater with that on your lap. It's like,